Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are back on the scorecard presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. Barry Cronin, Mike Esposito here with you. It is British Open week, celebrating by playing some British rockers. And who doesn't love a little Led Zeppelin on your Saturday morning? Here as we start hour two on the scorecard, goings on at the British Open. The other thing we like about this is the tournament is actually being played as we are on the air here. We have some guys underway, and we have some still pending their tee-offs, although they'll be teeing off. Even the top pairing of Louis Oosthuizen and Colin Morikawa, 9:55 Eastern, so 8:55 Chicago time. So all will be off and underway pretty soon, Barry, and it's another glorious day. Apparently, Barry Cronin, our texter, points out from the 630 that the Open has moved to good old terrestrial channel 5 now, so we can find it.
God bless them. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I'll have to move it over there. Move it on over.
Because we had lost it earlier. It was on the Golf Channel, and then it wasn't, and we were a little worried. So thanks to our listener and texter for telling us that it's moved over to Channel 5. We appreciate that because we're old. We don't know how to deal with a lot of this stuff. We like to have things told to us. So that is certainly appreciated. As is the live golf. And we should catch everyone up on what's going on at the British Open. Bob Herrig will be joining us momentarily from Royal St. George's in England. But Louis Oosthuizen, 11 under, leading the tournament by two strokes over Colin Morikawa. Jordan Spieth is in third at 8 under. And let's touch on Spieth a little bit too, Barry, because I know not so long ago, this was a guy that we were wondering what was going on. He was trying to figure it out, but he really has seemingly turned it all back around.
Yes, he has, Mike. He's played real well this year. He hadn't won since 2017. And then earlier this year, he won in San Antonio at the Texas Open. And he's had a number of top 10 finishes, and he's really played well. He hasn't always gotten it done on the weekend. He's back in contention. And this really, his pre-tournament comments, he seemed very confident, and it's pretty obvious why. I mean, this is an event that really appeals to a golfer with a lot of imagination, a fabulous short game, a great putter, he's right up there with Louis. So believe me, Louis is looking over his shoulder going, wait a minute, I have a three shot lead over Jordan Spieth, but there's only one guy between me and him, and he's one of the great putters in the world and one of the great short game guys. So Louis might get a little short in that backswing again. You never know. So he's going to have a challenge down the stretch. Not to mention even people like Koepka and Rahm who are back several strokes. They've got a chance over the weekend, depending on what goes on. But the weather being what it is, I don't necessarily think the guys at the top of the leaderboard are going to get knocked out by the weather. So we'll see what happens. But it's always going to be a great finish. And the good thing is it's on at 9 o'clock in the morning, which is awesome on the weekend. You get guys like Mickelson, miss the cut, and, a lot of guys, kind of big guys, miss the cut at the British. So, it'd be a great weekend to watch golf.
Absolutely. This segment of the scorecard presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. Tied for fourth, right behind Spieth, DJ, Scotty Scheffler, and Dylan Fratelli. You mentioned John Rahm, Barry, with a 64 yesterday after a plus 171 on the opening round. Rahm right back in it, and he's tied with Koepka. So never count those guys out, right, Barry?
Absolutely, for sure. Those guys are right there, and you know, you never know what can happen in a tournament like this. But it's interesting. University of Texas, Mike, Jordan Spieth, Scotty Scheffler, and Dylan Fratelli all right up there in the top seven. I know that John Field, their head coach, is real proud right now. So. Terrific. And by the way, we should mention that Wheaton native Kevin Streelman was tied at T40 at one under par. I'm not sure what he's doing today, but good for him that he made the tournament. And, you know, he's 42 years old, I believe. So he's having a really solid year, which is awesome.
He is, and he is one under today. So two under now overall for the tournament. He's through six, but Streelman now tied for 32nd. So he is he's playing well, and I wanted to mention too, we mentioned the live golf. So Rory is the story so far today. He's 4 under through 9, Barry. So he is now 4 under for the tournament after playing even par the first 2 days. So Rory making a bit of a climb. I mean, he's still 7 shots off of Louis's leading 11 under par, but Rory making a bit of noise this morning.
Yeah, well, you know, Rory's problem is he gets off to these lousy starts seemingly every major championship. He's behind the eight ball all the time. If he'd have gone out and shot 64 the first day or two, or at least a reasonable score, be within where Koepka and Rahm are, within 6 shots of the lead. But now he's so far back that, okay, great, he could shoot, he could have a great round today, but the rest of the guys at the top of the leaderboard go out and do the same thing. So he's playing catch up, and you really can't do that at a major championship, in my humble opinion. Although, you know, there are guys that do it, but really, you know, it's tough.
Well, and Barry, Rory has made he's made up 36 slots today, so he's up to 17th. T17 here is Rory McIlroy. So we will see how he can do heading up the rest of the round. As I said, he is he's through 9 right now, and Rory certainly one of the stars of the game, and good for enjoyment on your Saturday morning here watching a little British Open as you get your day started and listening to us here on the Scorecard. We certainly appreciate that. Tony Finau and Brian Harman, Danny Willett, amongst others, tied with Rory there at 4 under par. So the score is very low. As Barry mentioned, the weather this week has not been a detriment normally. That is certainly a case where it is an issue. We all know the history of the British Open and the weather and the location, certainly where the tournament's played. The weather out there in England and Scotland certainly can be a huge factor in this tournament. So far, though, it has not been that at all. And we see the low scores to prove it. I mean, Louis Oosthuizen, among others, he is the leader, so he's the easiest one to point out. But 64-65 in his first two rounds. Colin Morikawa, John Rahm, among others, shooting a 64 yesterday. So the low scores are out there. We'll see if it continues all weekend because the normal weather constraints that tend to affect guys here in at the British Open are just not there right now. And we are pleased to jump on out now to the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. You know him from ESPN.com. He is a Barrington native. We're always glad to talk to Bob Herrig here on the Scorecard. Good morning, Bob.
Hey, good morning, Mike. How are you today?
Doing great. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you taking some time out from your coverage there at Royal St. George's in England. And it's been quite a first few days there. And I was just saying how the weather really has not played a huge factor into the tournament thus far with the low scores coming in.
Correct. It really is sort of amazing how much, you know, that the weather conditions are needed to make it tough on these guys, because when it's benign and the wind isn't blowing, you know, they just seem to take off. You know, the number of scores under par through two rounds is just incredible. 10 years ago, the winning score for the whole tournament was 5 under. And here, you know, we've got 12 guys plus at 5 under or better through 36. So, you know, that year the weather was different. It was certainly a poor final day, a lot of rain and wind. And it was kind of a chilly week, you know. It was, and the conditions were harder in terms of firmness with the course. This week, you know, they've had some softness, and then you couple that with you know, actually, you know, pretty nice day today. It's beautiful. You know, this is a great day to play golf anywhere in the world. So and you know, they take advantage, but it is a little harder today. It seems the wind is still a factor, but I think they put the pins in some spots, and it might be a little bit tougher, but I don't think it's going to be brutal like maybe some of us would have hoped.
Right. Well, and I was just filling in the listeners who are joining us here on the scorecard. So Rory's off to a great start today, 4 under through 9, making a bit of a move. I don't know if it's too little too late for Rory, but certainly he's out and hitting well this morning.
Only one bogey, but as you said, is it too little too late? I mean, he's now 4 under for the tournament, but the lead's 11. You know, he probably needs to get another 4 under par on the back nine and get within 3 and then hope that Ushazen and the others don't run away. And, you know, that's possible. That's the problem. You know, there's a lot of guys to pass as well.
I think we have Barry back. Barry, do you have us?
I do, I believe, Mike.
Yes, you do.
Through the miracle of communication, reestablished. So it's a good thing. we could get to England, but we can't get to the Northwest Burbs. But that's okay. well, Bob, it's great to have you on. Thanks so much for joining us. So Louis, can he get it done? I mean, he's done it. He's been close so many times, but boy, he's got some real challengers right behind him, nipping at his heels.
Yeah, you know, and I'm not so sure that's the problem for him. You know, I think it's more him. You know, can he get it done himself? Because he certainly at the last two majors, you know, it was more him that didn't make it happen. You know, he was right there on the back nine at Kiowa with Phil and also obviously Torrey Pines with John Rahm. He was playing behind Rahm and Rahm, you know, really needed a birdie on 18, because the thought was is if he didn't birdie 18, Louis could birdie it to win. Instead,
right.
Louis then bogeyed 17 and needed an eagle on 18. After Rob made that putt. So, you know, it was a bad time to make a bogey. I mean, and especially where he hit it. And so he made some mistakes down the stretch in both tournaments that, you know, you look back and obviously you're going to make mistakes. Everybody is, but those stand out when you come up a shot or two short.
Bob, I know that the COVID situation over there is different than it is here. Has it had any real effect on the tournament? I know we had 16 guys, I think, withdrew prior to the event or got COVID and couldn't fly over, et cetera. Has it played any role in the tournament so far?
You know, once they got started, to my knowledge, nothing has come up. I mean, we've had no WDs. They've had no... as far as I know, there's not even been any alarm bells that have gone off. And you know, I know we've talked about this, and it's interesting, you know, just this kind of overly strong. strict, you know, bubble situation where these guys are only allowed to be within their four-person bubble. They can't go anywhere. They can't, you know, they can't go to restaurants. They can't, you know, they can't even go to the grocery store. They're not even supposed to walk to the course. They have to, like, kind of just all be together, and they don't want them with other players. And you know, it was explained to us better on Wednesday, and I think if they would have gotten the word out about this early on, it would have been a little bit easier to understand. But they have very strict contact tracing laws and rules with COVID over here. Like, I've noticed in places I go to here, you're supposed to either give them a QR code or give them your phone number, tell them who you are. They want to know everybody who comes in case somebody gets COVID, and then they alert you. And so here, the way the rules are set up, if anybody were to be in contact with someone with COVID, they're out. They're done. Right. They're not even allowed to test out of it. So the thought was, let's protect them from themselves. If we let players get together and one of them gets it and eight of them were with him, they're all going to be bumped. And so that's why they've gone about it this way. And while that is, to me, very, very drastic, I kind of understand now why they did it this way. Because, you know, look, Barry, as you know, with the plane, if there had been a person on the flight coming over here, test positive over here, everybody on the plane is out. Now, I think that's really, really strict. I mean, they won't even let you test to see. You know, you can't even take a test a couple of days in a row to see. But according to their laws, no. And so, you know, I'm sure these guys are going to look forward to getting back home, because it can't be easy to be doing that all week. They've never really had to do that throughout the whole pandemic, even at the worst of it.
Right. Talking to Bob Herrig, he is live at the British Open at Royal St. George's in Sandwich, England. Bob, you wrote a piece, and Barry and I talked about it earlier. And not to make light of it, but the Bryson DeChambeau, whatever you want to call it, the press drama, the various different things that he keeps doing. This week it was lashing out at his driver and his gear company. It's starting to affect his golf, or it's not starting to, it is affecting his golf game. Whatever it is that's going around with Bryson is really causing his play to suffer. And it's a big issue, certainly, as Barry mentioned, heading into the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what I tried to write the other day last night, he's getting in his own way now. I mean, what he did on Thursday, you know, come on, you're going to criticize your equipment? You know, I mean, these guys pay him, who knows what they pay him? It's got to be seven figures, right? They bow down every time he wants something. They're trying to tweak a shaft or a grip or the club head or the loft or the lies on all of his clubs, and then you throw them under the bus like that. I mean, and you know, look, a bunch of us talked to him yesterday. He was very apologetic. I think he realized how bad that came off. Of course, you're frustrated when you put in all this time and you're trying to get things dialed in, and you're unable to produce like you want. But of course, we all know that there's somebody swinging that club, and it ultimately it's an individual game, and it's on you. So and look, as I was trying to point out, for all the attention he's received and all the drama and all the stuff about long driving, he's won one tournament this year in March. You know, he missed the cut in Detroit. He almost missed the cut here. Shot 44 on the back nine at Torrey Pines to blow a chance to win the U.S. Open, was not a factor at the Masters or the PGA. It's a bottom line business, and you know, he's only won once. And for a guy of his ability and for as much attention as he gets, you know, you'd have thought that there'd be more than that.
Yeah. And, you know, Bob, the other thing I forgot to mention earlier, in addition to the Ryder Cup, he's going to represent the United States at the Olympics.
Yep. He's one of the four U.S. guys going over there. That's only 2 weeks from now. It's a long trip. The restrictions are going to be even worse over there. I mean, if he's in a bad mental state now, Imagine that. You know, I don't see that being a very fun experience for the players, given all the things they're going through in Japan and all the restrictions they're going to be putting on everyone. And so, you know, you just kind of want them to reset. And I don't know if there's time to do it right now, you know, because they do have a busy stretch coming up after the Olympics. There's a World Golf event, and then the FedEx playoffs, and the Ryder Cup is a few weeks later. And look, he's going to be part of the Ryder Cup. But, I mean, as we get towards that, you sit here, you go, who do you pair with him? You know, who's going to want to deal with this? Can he even play alternate shot? You know, it's almost like you almost don't want to put him in alternate shot, maybe just best ball. I just think for his sake, he needs to take a step back here for a minute and assess and recognize that look at all the good he's done for himself. You know, the fitness thing and hitting it farther and you know, he has brought a lot of good attention to the game. You know, focus on that and try to move forward as opposed to all this kind of little petty stuff that's dragging him down.
Right. So, Bob, as we go into this tomorrow, the final round, what do you see here? What's your prediction? You have one?
Well,
it's hard to make predictions, you know. Everybody.
I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't have predicted this kind of scoring. You know, I mean, this is a hard golf course. It's not everybody's favorite, and the reason it's not everybody's favorite is many people deem it unfair. It's got a lot of blind tee shots. It's got a lot of mounds, and you know, you hit a perfect drive down the fairway and kicks in the rough. There's just not been as much of that because it's been softer. They've had a pretty rainy summer. I think, you know, a lot depends on, are those top guys, the three major champions, Ushizen, Morikawa, Spieth, did they break away today? You know, like if there's one of them go out and shoot 66 or 65 again and then put some space. If not, then I think we have a chance for like a really compelling final day because you've got, you know, Dustin Johnson's right there. Scottie Scheffler's right there. I mean, Koepka moved up. But, you know, when you've got somebody that's two ahead and you've got three guys that are ahead of a bunch of other players, you know, all it takes is one of them to go low and then it becomes difficult for everybody else. So I think today it's important to see how this plays out. I mean, the scoring is not great today. It's not as good as it was, the first 2 days. I mean, there's some numbers. It's not overly difficult, but it looks like the pins are in some tough spots. The wind is, you know, still a factor enough to make them sink. And you're just sort of hoping that the thing dries out a little bit more and gets even firmer as these leaders get onto the course.
Yeah, and then they will be doing so very shortly here, Bob. And listen, we appreciate you jumping on. It'll be an interesting final 2 days there at the British Open at Royal St. George's. We always appreciate your time for us here on the Scorecard.
Thanks for having me. Enjoyed it. Be well, guys.
Thanks, Bob. Thank you. Really appreciate it.
That is Bob Herrig from ESPN.com, their longtime golf writer. Bob also a native of the area here, Barrington, and he was in Evans Scholars, Indiana. I always like to bring that up. Love the Evans Scholars program, and Bob was a member of that Evans Scholars team there at Indiana. So, yeah, Barry, it's interesting times out there at Royal St. George's in Sandwich. We'll talk more British Open when we come back. We do need to take a time out. You are listening to The Scorecard presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine with Barry Cronin and Mike Esposito here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we are back on the scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. Barry Cronin, Mike Esposito, glad to be with you each and every Saturday morning here on the score. British Open week at Royal St. George's. It's time for us all, Barry, to just come together and enjoy the British Open. See what I did there? I knew you would like that.
Exactly. Mike, it's like I like working with a radio professional.
Well, we need to find one then, really, in a hurry before we are talking about the British Open this week. It's Louis Oosthuizen so far, Barry, at 11 under. 64-65, not a bad way to start a tournament. He's got a two-shot lead on Colin Morikawa. And as we just heard from Bob Herrig, although Rory McIlroy is making it seem that this is not the case, Bob saying that the scores today, the course playing a little bit more difficult, and the score's not as low. Rory at 4-under through 10 on the day, but apparently the rest of the field not having as much success as Rory is. So that, in theory, bodes well for the guys that are already way out front.
Right. And they can't make the course super hard the first 2 days because they've got to get all these players through. Mm-hmm. And so once they make the cut, top 65 in ties, now they can turn the screws a little bit and separate who's playing well from who's just playing okay. And so it'll be interesting to see, I think, to see how Koepka does today, how Rahm does, the guys that are down maybe six shots off the lead. You know, if they could shoot what Rory's doing today, and there's no reason to think that they can't. I mean, they're all playing better than Rory because they're way ahead of him in the standings. So it'd be interesting to see if anybody from that six under group, you know, or five or six under, can get any closer to Louis, and if he can maintain or extend that lead. So it'd be interesting to see, you know, at the end of today, we could be looking at a two-man race. It could be Morikawa and Oosthuizen in the final group tomorrow, or Spieth could do something. So, it's going to be a good tournament. Last week we had a winner in Lucas Glover at the John Deere who came from behind from four shots back. So, You know, things, a lot can happen, and but it does seem like the weather there is going to still be pretty benign and good scoring conditions. But, you know, the RNA, they've been doing this for, this is the 149th version of the British Open, or as they like to say, or as the branding people over there in the UK like to say, the Open Championship.
Right.
So they've been doing it for a long time, and they know how to set up the golf course to separate the wheat from the chaff, and that's what they're going to do this weekend.
I believe it was Phil on Twitter earlier this week, and I got a chuckle out of it, and he, of course, has missed the cut after going 80-72 in the first two rounds. But talking about the whole Open Championship versus the British Open thing, he says either is okay. He's not going to get you for either way. He said, you know, it's been called both by tournament officials, so the British Open or the Open Championship, either is an acceptable way to talk about the tournament.
Well, it is acceptable because I don't know where I saw it, but you know, when you're watching TV, you see things.
Sure.
And I remember there was this grainy black and white video of the British Open trophy ceremony, and a guy from the RNA who was presenting the trophy to somebody, I think maybe it was Bobby Jones or whoever it was. Called it the British Open.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's been the British Open since it was the British Open. So the U.S. Open was founded in 1896, which is 36 years after the British Open. So at one point, Mel, you have to distinguish one from the other. Probably that's why they call it the British Open, and that's why we call it the U.S. Open. So it's a good idea to tell people where you are in the world, I think. But, you know, I'm old fashioned. What can I tell
you?
Yeah.
And we are trying not to be golf elitist. We don't need to get people upset at us. So right, the British Open. I mean, come on. This makes it easy. Whatever. British Open, US Open.
Yeah.
Easy.
And it's interesting when you look in the newspaper, if you ever look at the newspaper.
I do.
In the Agate section of the paper, and you look for the scores, at the top it says British Open. And yep. So that's kind of the traditional name. So a number of years ago, the folks in the UK at the RNA, whatever, decided to rebrand it as the Open Championship. And so, you know, now there's the speech police on the Golf Channel and some other places. And if you call it the British Open, you know, they spank you somehow verbally.
Well, they're going to confuse
But they're not
people.
Spanking us, Mike. They're
no,
not
they're not.
Us. They're just, we, you know, we get to call it whatever the hell we want.
That's right. We gladly retain our freedom of speech, and we are happy to do so. we will take a quick timeout, Barry. When we come back, we're excited to talk to Mulby Dillard IV. He's a Hyde Park native, recent college graduate. He was the played at Florida A&M, the number one minority college golfer in the nation. He just turned pro. He's from Chicago. It's going to be a great interview. We're going to talk to him next on The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine on 670 The Score. And we are back on The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. Barry Cronin, Mike Esposito. Last segment for us this week, British Open week, British Rockers. I think we know who these guys are, and we always enjoy playing the music of the locale that the PGA Tour is at. This week's is easy. We could go 100 deep on British Rockers, Barry, but Sean Anderson, God bless him, playing the hits for the kids.
Absolutely. Exactly. It's good. He's playing the classic rock. We're reaching back in time.
That's right.
So which we is have, okay, you know.
It is. That's what old guys like us do, Barry. That's right. We reach back, and thankfully the young guys are out there playing and playing well at the Royal St. George's Golf Club in England. Louis Oosthuizen, Colin Morikawa, your final pairing today. They tee off about an hour from now, hour and 20 minutes, whatever, before they tee off. But quite a leaderboard. Louis, Colin Morikawa, Spieth, Dustin Johnson, Scotty Scheffler, Dylan Fratelli, those are your top guys right now. All are 7 under or better. And guys are out there playing right now. We mentioned Rory. I think I might have jinxed Rory a little bit, Barry, because he then bogeyed 10, so he's through 11. He's 3 under for the day. But Rory has made a bit of a move. And I know you always want to know what Kevin Streelman is doing, as do our listeners, because he is from here. Kevin is 2 under for the tournament, 1 under for the day. He is through 9. So Kevin tied for 32nd at the moment. But playing well. You definitely have, as Bob Herrig told us, some lower scores today. You have some guys like Bryson DeChambeau, who is +2 for the day. A lot of plus scores on the bottom end of the scoreboard today, Barry. So Kevin keeping himself in contention. We are now thrilled to head on out, Barry, to the Circa Resort and Casino hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. We join Mulby Dillard IV, who joins us. Good morning, Mulby.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mulby. It's so great to have you. You graced the cover of Chicago District Golfer magazine there in June. Wonderful picture and a beautiful story about you and your family and how you got involved in golf and everything. So it's terrific. And now, next, we'll talk a little bit about that, but I wanted to hit on first. You're going to play in a tournament at TPC Deer Run next week, in a couple of days, actually, on the Advocates Professional Tour. So tell us a little bit about that, what that tour is, and a little bit about the tournament.
Yeah, so the Advocates, it's pretty much a golf tour that was made for minorities to kind of have a better feeder system for minorities to make their way to the PGA Tour. So that's kind of like the biggest main goal of the tour. And so I've been playing on this tour since I was a freshman in college. And, you know, they've been nothing but great to me and kind of helped me build up some confidence over the years and just have some good experiences with competing with professional golfers, you know, back when I was an amateur in college. And so they've been doing a really good job of helping, trying to diversify the game, and, you know, hope them great success as we go on.
And you played, I think, in this event last year. What do you anticipate Deer Run? How do you like the golf course? And what are you doing to prepare?
Yeah, so I played in this event last year, and the course was set up great. The scores last year were actually not not super low, but the course was in pretty demanding shape last year, and so I probably expect the same for this year. And Deer Run, it's a great track. You always got to make sure to keep your eyes open for everything. You know, can't let any fall off happen mentally out there on that course. It's very demanding. So excited to get out there and play.
Talking to Mulby Dillard IV, and Mulby, I had given the listeners your background. You're from Hyde Park. You went to Whitney Young and recently played at Florida A&M. But I was also reading, too, and I know Jackson Park is your home course, that you do a lot of work with kids and with other people there at Jackson Park trying to give back.
Yeah, so I started a golf academy called the Mulby Dillard Golf Academy, where I was kind of starting off working with kids, mostly kind of like my mom's coworkers that were like having their kids trying to get into the game, and I made this academy just to kind of give back. And so I started at Jackson Park, where I started playing golf, and then kind of incorporated everything that people had done for me kind of growing up and helping me learn the game and different tips like that. I took it upon myself to do the same, to help out kids, you know, that were younger than me, that are up and coming, trying to get into the game of golf.
Well, you know, Mulby, that's the thing. You know, I grew up in the city too, and it was, you know, we never had golf. I was a Northsider. There wasn't a Jackson Park, but it's hard to be a golfer, grow up in the city and be a golfer. You know, we always played softball and basketball and football at the park, but golf is a different deal. How did you get into golf, and how were you able to stay in it for all these years?
So my dad actually started me off with golf. And so when I was probably about 2 years old, he would take me to Jackson Park driving range, and eventually just looking at him hit for so long, I kind of just followed what my dad was doing. And so, that's my dad. Dad definitely started me out with the game. And, it's been very good to me. You know, it's the one game that I've played for the longest of my life, and so I owe a lot to golf. I don't know where I'd be without it.
Yeah, and Mulby, you had just turned pro after graduating from Florida A&M. How has that been? I mean, you go from high school, you were the top rated minority golfer in the nation at Florida A&M. You come on out, you're playing in the Korn Ferry Tour. Now it's kind of for real. Not that it wasn't real before, but it's like, you know, hey, this isn't college anymore. This is the chance at the big time, right? So I know the tour is the ultimate goal, the PGA Tour.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely the goal. It's kind of like a dream come true. You know, I've always dreamed of being a professional golfer ever since I was younger. And so obviously, like, the kind of goals have changed now. Like, I'm able to call myself a professional golfer now. But the ultimate goal is to make it to the PGA Tour. So I'm doing everything in my power to make that happen.
Well, yeah, that's not an easy road. How are the purses out on the Advocates Professional Tour? Is it when you win, do you make any? Is it decent money, or how can you make this keep this going?
I think usually first prize for the Advocates is maybe about like $8,000 or about $7,500, something around that, depending on how big the field is, but the Advocates is doing a good job. You know, they have about 13 tournaments a year, and but the goal is really just to play as many tournaments as possible and just trying to get comfortable with playing more golf, just being in certain situations that I'm going to find myself out there on the course.
Now, Mulby, I know you talked about trying to give back and be an example for other young kids trying to get in the game. As an African-American man and as a guy who's now played college golf and now coming onto the PGA Tour, how do you view, and I know we always talk a ton about Tiger and the effect he has had on the game. I know there was a lot of talk, and you were not even born yet when he was starting, but, you know, how the impact Tiger would have on African-Americans and trying to get more minorities to play the game of golf. Do you see that as happening? I mean, you're living it now. You're a golf professional. You're giving back at Jackson Park. Do you think that's something that's going to happen?
I do. I think I think Tiger was kind of a big reason why a lot of African American boys now kind of got into golf. I know that's probably, if you ask a majority of them, that's really, you know, like, why they even picked up a golf club for the most part was because of Tiger. But I think now the game of golf is becoming more quote unquote cool to people, and people are kind of having an understanding of how difficult the game really is and just taking a liking to it. I think after the pandemic, people had a lot of time and picked up the game of golf. And so I feel like that's going in the right direction. And again, just trying to have more opportunity for African Americans that are picking up the game. And it's really all about opportunity, because, you know, anybody on any given day could do something incredible. And so just being able to put yourself in those places to show out is the most important part about the process.
You know, obviously it's not easy to do what you're trying to do. You know, as we see all the time, guys on the Korn Ferry Tour and a lot of tours, it's just difficult. But it seems like one of the things that the minority players have had a hard time with is getting sponsors and getting the money to get out on the tour. And I think that's what the PGA Tour is doing with this Advocates Tour, right? I mean, I remember, you remember players. I just remember Zach Johnson because I'm so familiar with him from the John Deere Classic. He had businessmen from Cedar Rapids who basically staked him to go out and play these mini tours like the old Dakota Tour and the Hooters Tour, et cetera. So right now, it's the PGA Tour is kind of helping you guys do that now. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. Through the Advocates, they kind of started out the Advocates, and so it was kind of their way of having a better path for African Americans. And so they've definitely done a great job of making that happen. And as we've seen kind of over the past couple of months that those opportunities have been presented. Like Willie Mack was able to play in two PGA events not too long ago, and Kamai was able to compete in those events. And those guys have played on the Advocates for, over 5 or 6 years. And so that's kind of the main thing that they're focused on. And I think that they've been doing a great job of it so far.
They have. Willie Mack made the cut both at the Rocket Mortgage and the John Deere Classic, and and he received a sponsor exemption at the John Deere, and I think also at in Detroit. So good for him. And it's always great when you give a sponsor exemption to somebody you really want them to do well, and most of the time they don't, right? But sometimes they do, and we were happy to see Willie Mack did real well at the John Deere and also at the Rocket Mortgage. So that's pretty cool. I mean, maybe that'll be you someday. You never know.
Yeah, that's the goal.
Well, and Mulby, as we really appreciate your time this morning. As we let you go, I know you're just getting started, but. Maybe your coolest kind of pinch me moment where you're like, all right, I'm actually doing this out there. Maybe it's a tournament you won or played in, or one of the pros that you always looked up to that you got to meet and talk to. Do you have any of those? I know our listeners would enjoy hearing something like that.
Yeah, I would say my pinch me moment was, I think I had two pinch me moments, was probably right after my last putt at NCAA regionals on the last day. I knew that we weren't going to advance any further. And then it was kind of like a pinching moment hitting that last putt and knowing that my collegiate career had come to an end and that I was about to start a new chapter in my life. And that was a really big pinching moment. It was kind of overwhelming at first, but then the next biggest pinching moment was when I was playing in the Rex Hospital in Raleigh, North Carolina, the Corn Ferry event that I got the sponsors exempt for the collegiate rankings through the APGA, and just kind of teeing it up on that first hole and knowing that it was kind of my professional debut and that I was able to do it at a Corn Ferry event was really like a dream come true. And so that was a very, very big pinching moment for me, and so I'm happy that I was able to have those experiences and moving forward, have definitely less stress going into those positions in the future.
Sure. Well, and Mulby, I know I speak for many of us. We'll be rooting for you. We'll be watching. You've got a nice built-in Chicago fan base here of a lot of us that will be rooting for you, Chicago native. Trying to make your way there on the tour. So best of luck and continued success to you.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much for having me. You guys have a great rest of the day.
Thank you, too. Mulby. You too.
Mulby Dillard IV, Whitney Young grad, now making his way on the Corn Ferry Tour. Great story. And that was a great piece that was in the Chicago District Golfer magazine as well a few months ago. So
it was written by the great Herb Gould.
Yes, it was. I really enjoyed it. And we are out of time, as the music tells us. Next week, we could wrap up the British Open and tell you if Louis was able to hold on. Barry, it's been great doing the show with you, as always.
Always terrific, Mike. We had a little adventures, some technical adventures, but we wound up getting it done. So thank you very much for driving the ship.
Driving the bus. We're trying to keep it on the road, and we'll... We appreciate it, Barry. Thanks to our guests, Tristan Nolan, Thanks to Andy Michelson from Mistwood. Thanks to Bob Herrig, live from Royal St. George's in Sandwich, England. And thanks to Mulby Dillard, who we just talked to. Sean Anderson, thank you for producing. Most of all, thanks to everybody for listening each and every Saturday morning. I'm Mike Esposito. We'll talk to you next week here on The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine on 670 The Score. Have a great day, everybody.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.